This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalam. Ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Awalam yara allazina kafaru. Anna samawati wal arda. Kanat ratkan fafatakhnahuma. Waja'alna min al-ma'i kulla shay'in hay. Afala yu'minun. Rabbi shali sadri. Wasilli amri. Wahlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. My respected elders and my dear brothers and sisters, I welcome all of you with the Islamic greetings. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May peace, mercy and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be on all of you. The topic of this evening's talk of mine in this Pearl Sunnah International Convention 2025 is Quran and modern science, compatible or incompatible? The glorious Quran is the last and final revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which was revealed to the last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. For any book to claim that it is the word of God, for any book to claim it is a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it should pass the test of time. Previously, in the olden ages, it was the age of miracle. And alhamdulillah, the glorious Quran is the miracle of miracle. Then came the age of literature and poetry. Muslims and non-Muslims alike, the Arabic scholars, they claim that the glorious Quran is the best Arabic literature available on the face of the earth. And Allah gives the challenge in Surah Baqarah, chapter number 2, verse number 23 and 24. Allah says, and if you are in doubt as what we have revealed to our servant from time to time, فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِمِثْلِ, then produce a surah somewhat similar to it. وَدْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ, and call forth your helpers and witnesses if there are any besides Allah. إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, but if you're truthful. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا, but if you cannot. وَلَنْ تَفْعَلُوا, and of a surety you cannot. فَاتَّقُ النَّارَ الَّتِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسَ وَالْحِجَارَةُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ, then fear the fire whose fuel is men and stone. This is the standing challenge given in the Quran for anyone, that if you doubt what we have revealed to the last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, produce not one surah somewhat similar to the surah of the Quran. And the shortest surah in the Quran is only 3 verses, only 10 words. Many people tried, but all of them failed. That's the reason, in the age when the Quran was revealed 1400 years back, it was the age of literature and poetry. And the Quran, by the language of the Quran, people accepted it to be the word of God. But today is not the age of literature and poetry. Today, if a book, a very poetic book, says that the world is flat, will a modern man believe in it? And the answer is no. Because today is not the age of literature and poetry. Today is the age of science and technology. So let us today analyze whether the glorious Quran is compatible or incompatible with modern science. According to Albert Einstein, the famous physicist and the Nobel Prize winner, he said that science without religion is lame and religion without science is blind. Let me remind you that the glorious Quran is not a book of science, S-C-I-E-N-C-E, but it's a book of signs, S-I-G-E. N-S. It's a book of ayats. The glorious Quran has more than 6,000 ayats, 6,000 signs, out of which more than 1,000 speak about signs. As far as today's talk is concerned, I will not be speaking about scientific hypotheses or scientific theories, because most of us know that many a times these scientific hypotheses and theories, they take U-turns. So as far as my talk today is concerned, I will only be speaking about established scientific facts. So my full talk today will not be dealing with scientific hypotheses or theories. It will only be dealing with scientific facts which have been proved. In the field of astronomy, in 1973, more than 50 years ago, there were a group of scientists who got the Nobel Prize for describing how did our universe come into existence. And they said that there was a primary nebula, then there was a secondary separation, a big bang, which gave rise to galaxies, to stars, sun, and the earth on which we live. This they called it as the big bang. Now what the scientists discovered about 40, 45 years ago is already mentioned in the Quran. What the scientists discovered about 50 to 55 years ago is already mentioned in the Quran 1400 years ago. And I start my talk by quoting a verse from the glorious Quran, from Surah Anbiya, chapter number 21, verse number 30, where Allah says, أَوَلَمْ يَلَى الَّذِينَ كَفُرُوا Do not the unbelievers see أَنَّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ كَانَتْ رَكْتَفَفْتَقْنَهُمَا That do not the unbelievers see that the heavens and the earth were joined together and we clove them asunder. Now this verse of the Quran 1400 years ago speaks about the creation of the universe, the Big Bang in a nutshell. What the scientists discovered about 50 years ago, the Quran mentions 1400 years ago. The Quran says in Surah Fusila, chapter number 41, verse number 11, that moreover in his design, he comprehended the sky. And he said to it and the earth, come ye together willingly or unwillingly, and they came together in willing obedience. It's talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That moreover in his design, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comprehended the sky when it was smoke. And it said to it and the earth, come ye together willingly or unwillingly, and they said, we come together in willing obedience. Today science tells us that initially the celestial matter was in a gaseous form and it was hot. And if you have to translate, there's no better translation than the Arabic word dukhan, which means smoke. So what the scientists discovered recently, the glorious Quran mentions 1400 years ago that initially the universe was in the form of smoke. Previously, we human beings, we thought that the world was flat. It was Ferdinand Magellan and Juan Elcano who first sailed around the earth. Ferdinand Magellan started in 1519, but before he could complete the journey, he died. So Juan Elcano continued, and both put together were the first human beings who sailed around the earth. And they proved that the earth was spherical. It was not flat. There were hypotheses earlier that the earth was spherical, but no proof. The first time any human being proved that the earth was spherical was in 1522. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Luqman, chapter number 31, verse number 29. Allah says, it is Allah who merges the night into the day and merges the day into the night. The merging of the night into the day and day into the night is only possible if the earth is spherical. Merging means a slow and gradual change from night to day and from day to night. This is only possible if the shape of the earth is spherical. If it was flat, there would have been a sudden change. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Az-Zumar, chapter 39, verse number 5, it is He who coils the night unto the day and day unto the night. The Arabic word used is qawwara, to coil, how a person coils a turban around his head. So Allah says in the Quran, He coils the night into the day and day unto the night. This overlapping of the night into the day and day unto the night is only possible if the earth was spherical. It is not possible if the earth was flat. It is mentioned in the Quran, in Surah Naziat, chapter number 79, verse number 30, Wal arda ba'da zalika dahaha. And thereafter, we have made the earth egg-shaped. The Arabic word dahaha, one of its meaning is an expanse, and the earth is an expanse. The other meaning of the Arabic word dahaha is derived from the root word duya, which means an egg. And it doesn't refer to a normal egg, it specifically refers to the egg of an ostrich, and even refers to the place where the ostrich lays the egg. And if you analyze the shape of the egg of an ostrich, it's not round like a ball. It is flattened from the poles and bulging from the center. Same shape as that of the earth. And I call it geospherical in shape. Imagine what we came to know recently, 200 years back, 300 years back, 400 years back, 500 years back. The Quran mentioned 1400 years ago that the shape of the earth is spherical, or rather geospherical. Previously, we humans, we thought that the light of the moon is its own light. It's recently, a few centuries ago, we came to know that the light of the moon is not its own light, it's a reflected light. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Furqan, chapter number 25, verse number 61, Blessed is he who has placed the constellation in the sky and placed therein sun, which is a blazing torch, and moon, which has borrowed light. The Arabic word used for sun in the Quran is shams. And the sunlight is always described either as siraj, wahaj, or diya. Siraj means a burning torch. Wahaj means a blazing lamp. Or diya means a shining glory. Meaning, the light of the sun has its own light. The moon, the Arabic word used is Qamar. The moonlight in the Quran is described as Munir or Noor. Munir means borrowed light, Noor means reflection of light. So wherever it is in the Quran, never is the moonlight called as Shams, Wahaj or Siraj or Diya. It's always called as Munir or Noor, borrowed light or reflection of light. Even if you read in the Quran in Surah Yunus, chapter number 10, verse number 5, it says Allah has made the sun as a diya, that's the shining glory, and the moon as noor, reflection of light. Allah repeats the message, the same message, in chapter number 71, verse number 15 and 16, that Allah has made the sun as a diya, as a shining glory, and the moon as noor, a reflection of light. So imagine what we came to know recently. Quran mentioned 14 years ago that the light of the moon is not its own light, but it's a reflected light. So because the Quran speaks about the Big Bang, about the initial state of the, before the universe, it was a gaseous state, and the shape of the earth is spherical, and the light of the moon is reflected light, would you say that the glorious Quran is compatible or incompatible with modern science? Many centuries ago, people thought that the earth was the center of the universe. And all planets revolved around the earth. It was called as geocentrism. For many centuries, until Copernicus in 16th century said that the planets, they revolve around the sun. And Johannes Kepler, in his book Astronomia Nova in 1609, said that not only do the planets revolve, they also rotate about their own axis. So in 16th century, we came to know that Earth is not the center of the universe. And when I was in school, I passed my school 10th standard in 1981. We had learned that the planets and the Earth, they revolved and they rotated. But we had learned in school in 1981 that the sun revolved but did not rotate about its own axis. But when I read a verse of the Quran in Surah Anbiya, chapter number 21, verse number 33, it says, أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. It says that هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ. It is Allah who has created night and the day. وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ. The sun and the moon. كُلٌّ فِي فَلِكِ يَسْبَحُونَ. Each one traveling in orbit with its own motion. So here, the Quran is saying that the sun and the moon, they are doing yasbahun. Yasbahun is Arabic word derived from the word sabaha, which describes the motion of a moving body. If I say a person is doing yasbaha on the floor, it will not mean he is rolling, it will mean he is walking. If I say a person is doing yasbaha in water, it will not mean he is floating, it will mean it is swimming. So in the Quran, when the word yasbah is used for a celestial body, it doesn't mean the body is flying, it means the body is rotating about its own axis. So Quran says that the sun and the moon, besides revolving, they also rotate about their own axis. But in school, when I was there, we had learned that the sun was stationary. Though it was discovered that time, in 1981, it was known that the sun, besides revolving, rotated, but it was not incorporated in our textbook. Now, alhamdulillah, if you go to the school books today, it's mentioned that the sun rotates. You can have the image of the sun on a tabletop and you know that the sun has got black spots. And these black spots take about 25 days to complete one rotation, indicating that the sun takes 25 days to complete one rotation. Imagine what I did not know in school. The Quran says the sun and the moon, they revolve and they rotate, which science came to know recently. The same message that the sun and the moon, they rotate about the axis, kullun fi falik yasbahun, is mentioned in Surah Yasin, chapter number 36, verse number 40. Kullun fi falik yasbahun, the sun and the moon, they rotate about their own axis. The Quran says in Surah Anbiya, chapter number 21, verse number 32, that we have created the sky as a protected ceiling. We have created the sky as a protected ceiling. Today, science tells us that the atmosphere above the earth, it prevents harmful radiation from entering the earth. And short waves such as X-rays, ultraviolet rays, which if it reaches the earth, life cannot exist. It prevents them. It acts like a protected ceiling, science tells us. So Quran says 49 years ago, in Surah Anbiya, chapter number 21, verse number 32, that we have made the earth, we have made the sky as a protected ceiling. As the protected ceiling. It is mentioned in Surah Yasin, chapter number 36, verse number 38. وَالشَّمْسَ تَجْرِي لِمُسْتَقَرٍ لَهَا. That the sun is running its course for a time determined, to a place determined. Today, science tells us that the sunlight we have is due to a chemical reaction which is taking place since billions of years. And one day, this chemical reaction will stop and the sun will cease to exist. So will life on the face of the earth cease to exist. But the scientists say that will take another billion years. And really science tells us. So when the Quran says, وَالشَّمْسَ تَجْرِي لِمُسْتَقَرِ اللَّهَ. Mustaqar means for a period determined to a place determined. So the period is determined, that means the sun is going to extinguish. And science also tells us today that the sun is moving towards a point known as solar apex. Along with the solar system, in the Herculean, known as Alpha Lyra, at the speed of 12 miles per second, means it is going to a place determined, Mustaqar. So Quran says that the sun is moving towards a place determined for a period determined. When I was in school, I had learned that there are three states of matter: solid, liquid, and gas. And the scientists, they thought that outside the astronomical system, there was vacuum. Today, the scientists have discovered there are bridges of matters outside the astronomical system, organized astronomical system. Previously, it was vacuum. And these bridges of matter, they call it as plasma, the fourth state of matter. So today, if you read in the school book, there's a fourth state of matter called as plasma. Quran says in Surah Furqan, chapter 25, verse 59, it is Allah who has created the heaven and the earth and in between things. That means the Quran doesn't agree that there is vacuum between the heaven and the earth. Today, science calls it the fourth state of matter, that is plasma. One of the major discoveries in this century in the field of astronomy was made by Edwin Hubble when he said that our universe is expanding. And Quran gives this message. The Quran says in Surah Dariyat, chapter number 51, verse number 47, that we have created the vastness of space. The Arabic word is Mu'sina, meaning vastness of space, the expanding universe. So what Edwin Hubble discovered recently, the Quran mentioned 1400 years ago that the universe is expanding. There may be certain skeptics of Islam who will say it is nothing new, nothing great, that Quran speaks about astronomy because the Arabs were advanced in the field of astronomy. I do agree that the Arabs were advanced in the field of astronomy. But I'd like to remind you that the Quran was revealed centuries, hundreds of years before the Arabs become advanced in the field of astronomy. So it's not from the Arabs that the Quran has taken. It is from the Quran that the Arabs have learned about astronomy. Let's discuss the field of physics. In the field of physics, centuries ago, a very famous theory known as atomism was propounded by the Greeks, the Democrats, who lived 23 centuries ago. And they had said that atom is the smallest part of matter. And Arabic, the Arabs called it as zarra. And at that time, people believed that the atom was the minutest part, smallest part, which could not be divided. And this zarra, what the Arabs speak about, is also mentioned in the Quran. But recently, we have come to know that atom, though it's the smallest part of matter, having the constituents of an element, it too can be divided into electrons and protons. So does it mean that the Quran is outdated when it speaks about zarra? Let's hear what the Quran says. Quran says in Surah Sabah, chapter number 34, verse number 3. When the unbelievers say that the hour will not come, tell them that the hour will surely come with the permission of thy Lord, in whose record is the smallest detail of zarra, smallest detail of atom. And in whose record is propitious things smaller and greater than the atom. So the Quran is not outdated, it's up to date. The Quran says Allah has knowledge of the atom, but even have knowledge of things lesser and greater than the atom. So Quran mentions 1400 years ago that there are things lesser and greater than the atom. The same message is repeated in Surah Yunus, chapter number 10, verse number 61. In Allah's record is propitious things lesser and greater than the atom. In the field of hydrology, all of us may have learned the water cycle in the school. The water cycle that we know today, it was first discovered by Sir Bernard Palissy in 1580. And we learned in school that the water evaporates from the oceans, forms into clouds, goes into the interior, then fragments, rises, then rain falls, then it flows back into the ocean, and the water cycle is completed. This was first described by Sir Bernard Palissy in 1580. Previously, in the 7th century BC, Thales of Miletus, he said it was the spray of the ocean that was picked up by the winds which fell into the interior as rain. People did not know from where did the underground water come. People thought it was the thrust of the wind on the ocean that propelled the water into the interiors. It was the thrust of the wind that forced the water into the interior, and then the water came back to the ocean by a secret passage to the ocean, the abyss. At that time, it was called as Tartarus, from the time Pluto had described it. And it was believed till as late as 17th century by Descartes also. And in 19th century, people believed in the Aristotle theory that water evaporated and condensed in mountain caverns which fed the springs. They had no knowledge how did the spring water come. Today we come to know, after science has advanced, that it is the rainwater that seeps into the cracks in the ground that gives us the underground water. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Luqman, Allah says in Surah Zumur, chapter number 39, verse number 21, that seest thou not, it is Allah who sends down water from the sky and leads it into cracks in the grounds. And then you see sown field of various colors growing. Means if the field has seeds, it will grow with various colors. Quran says in Surah Rum, chapter number 30, verse number 24, it is Allah who sends down water from the sky, and He gives life to the earth after it is dead. Allah says in Surah Muminun, chapter number 23, verse number 18, it is Allah who sends water from the sky, and He is able to store it, soak it. He is also able to drain it. Allah says in Surah Hijr, chapter number 15, verse number 22, that we send fecundating winds. The Arabic word used is lawaqi, coming from the Arabic word lucky. The root word is laqaha, meaning to fecundate. And today science tells us that the fecundating winds, what they do, that the pollens, they go and impregnate the cloud, then you have rain. Or the winds push the clouds together, and then you have rain. Allah describes the water cycle in great detail. Allah says in Surah Nur, chapter number 24, verse number 43, that the clouds, they rise, and we make them to join into a heap, and the water, and the rainwater falls from the sky. Allah says in Surah Rum, chapter number 30, verse number 48, that the clouds, they rise and they move into the interior, they join, then they rise and they fall down as rain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the water cycle in great detail. These are just some of the verses I quoted. The Quran described the water cycle in many other verses also. In Surah Araf, chapter number 7, verse 57. In Surah Rod, chapter number 13, verse number 17. In Surah Furqan, chapter number 25, verse number 48 and 49. It's mentioned in Surah Fatir, chapter 35, verse number 9. In Surah Yasin, chapter number 36, verse number 34. It's mentioned in Surah Yasin, chapter number 36, verse number 34. It's mentioned in Surah Jashia, chapter 45, verse number 5. It's mentioned in Surah Qaf, chapter number 50, verse number 9 and 10. It's mentioned in Surah Waqia, chapter 56, verse number 67 to 70. It's mentioned in Surah Mulk, chapter number 67, verse number 30. It's mentioned in Surah Tariq, chapter number 86, verse number 11. There are several verses of the Quran which speak about the water cycle in great detail. Because the Quranic information matches with the modern science of astronomy, of physics, of hydrology, would you say the Quran is compatible or incompatible with modern science? In the field of geology, the geologists tell us that the radius of the earth is 3,950 miles, the radius, and the superficial layer is a thin crust, hardly of 1 to 10 miles. The deeper layers, they are hot and fluid and cannot sustain life. It is due to the folding phenomena that gives stability to the earth. The earth crust is very thin, it can shake. It is due to the mountain ranges which are formed by the folding phenomena that give stability to the earth. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Naba, chapter number 78, verse number 6 and 7, we have made the earth as an expanse, wal jabala autada. We have made the earth as an expanse, wal jabala autada, and the mountains as stakes. The Arabic word autad means tent pegs or stakes. And when your tent peg goes deep into the ground, you see only a small portion. And the function of the tent peg is to give stability. And this is mentioned that we have placed on the mountains. We have placed on the mountain standing firm in Surah Anbiya, chapter number 21, verse number 31. It's also mentioned in Surah Naziat, chapter number 79, verse number 32, as well as in Surah Ghashiyah, chapter number 88, verse number 19. There is a book by the name of Earth, which is a very important book, which is taught in most of the universities all over the world in the field of geology. And one of its authors, his name is Dr. Frank Press, who was at that time the president of the Academy of Sciences in USA and was also the science advisor to the former president of USA, Jimmy Carter. He writes in this book and he draws the diagram of the earth. He draws the diagram of the mountain, in the book named Earth. And he shows that the mountain has got deep roots in wedge shapes. So the portion on top of the earth is small, but the major portion is deep within the ground. It has got roots. And he mentions the function of the mountain is to give stability to the earth. And this is exactly what the Quran says in Surah Anbiya, chapter number 21, verse number 31, that we have placed on the mountain standing firm, lest it would shake with you. And this is further repeated, that we have placed on the mountains, we have placed on the earth, the mountain standing firm, lest it would shake with you, in Surah Nahl, chapter number 16, verse number 5. In the field of oceanology, oceanology means the study of the ocean. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the glorious Quran, in Surah Furqan, chapter number 25, verse number 53, it is He who has let free two bodies of flowing water, one sweet and palatable and the other salty and bitter. Though they meet, they do not mix. there is a barrier which is forbidden to be trespassed. The same message is repeated in Surah Al-Rahman, chapter number 15, verse number 19. Marajal Bahrain Yaltaqiyan Bainama Barzakh La Yabghiyan, that there are two bodies of flowing water. Though they meet, they do not mix. There is a barrier which is forbidden to be trespassed. All of us know that there are two types of water, sweet and salty. But the Mufassirin of the Quran, they could not understand what does the Quran mean by saying, we know there are two types of water. What does the Quran mean by saying they meet, but they do not mix? There is a barzakh. There is a barrier which is forbidden to be trespassed. And barzakh is an unseen barrier. Similarly, how we have after a person dies, until the time is resurrected, there is a barzakh, an interim life, unseen. So here the word is used, barzakh. Today science tells us, after science has advanced, that there are two types of water, salt and sweet. But whenever one type of water flows into the other type of water, it loses its constituency and gets homogenized into the water it flows. And that transitional homogenizing area is the slanting area which the Quran refers to as barzakh. Science refers to it as transitional homogenizing area. It's distinct water. They don't mix. When it flows, when the fresh water flows, the lake water flows into the ocean, into the seawater, they're distinct. And there's a slanting barrier. That means it loses its constituents and gets homogenized into the area it flows, which the Quran calls it a barzakh. And this can be seen very clearly in many places in the world. If you go to the southernmost tip of Africa, South Africa, near the Cape Point, and if you see there, you can see two types of distinct water. The colors are distinct, and you can see the division also. When River Nile flows into the Mediterranean Sea, you can see it. And the best example is the Gulf Stream. It starts from the Gulf of Mexico, goes northwards towards the east of North America, then goes eastwards towards the western shore of Europe. It flows for thousands of miles. And if you go in a ship and go towards the edge of the Gulf Stream, and you pick up water from one end and pick up water from the other side, you will find that one water is sweet, the other is salty. Even the temperature between the two waters differ. Imagine, Quran speaks about barzakh, the transitional homogenizing area, 1400 years ago. There's a verse in the Quran dealing with oceanology, which was presented to Professor Durga Rao. Professor Durga Rao, he is an expert in marine geology and was teaching in King Abdulaziz University in Jeddah. He was shown the translation of one of the verses of the Quran from Surah Nur, chapter number 24, verse number 40, which says that the state of an unbeliever's, the unbeliever's state is like the depth of darkness in a vast deep ocean. Waves, topped with dark clouds. And if a man stretches out his hand, he cannot see it. For to whom Allah does not give light, it will not reach him. When this verse was presented to Professor Durga Rao of Surah Nur, chapter number 24, verse number 40, that the state of an unbeliever's mind is like the depths of darkness in a vast deep ocean, waves, topped with dark clouds, waves over waves. If a man stretches out his hand, he cannot see it. For whom Allah gives no light, light doesn't reach. He said, this does not refer to a normal sea. It's specifically referring toward vast deep ocean. And we human beings did not know that the depth of the ocean was dark until the submarine was discovered in 1900. Before that, we did not know that the depth of the ocean was dark, because a man cannot dive more than 25 meters or 30 meters unaided. And if he goes deep, 200 meters, he will die unaided. So only when submarines were discovered, we came to know. And Professor Durga Rao, he says that the darkness in the ocean is because of various causes. Number one, when the sunlight, before it reaches the earth, sometimes there are clouds which absorb the light. So below the clouds, there's darkness. Quran says, waves stop the darkness. Then those waves which are not obstructed by the clouds, they reach the ocean. The waves on the ocean, they reflect some of the light. And you find the waves are shiny. So there's darkness below the water. That's the second reason. The third reason for darkness is when the light enters the water, it absorbs in successions. We learnt in school that the light consists of seven colors. Vibgyor, violet, indigo, blue, green, yellow, orange, and red. Yes or no? Ah, mashallah. All of them have passed school. Good. Vibgyor. So Professor Durga Rao says that the first 10 to 15 meters, the red color is absorbed. So if a person dives below 30 meters and if he starts to bleed, he cannot see the red color of his blood because red light doesn't reach there. And I remember when I went in the submarine, I had taken a Kit Kat wrapper, red in color, to see what happens. And when it went down, you could see that the red color changes the color. Then you cannot see the red color. And when we do scuba diving also, when we go down. So practically I've experienced that few times in scuba diving and while going in submarine. Then from 30 to 50 meters, the orange color is absorbed. Then 50 to 100 meters, the yellow color is absorbed. From 100 to 200 meters, the green color is absorbed. And beyond 200 meters, the blue color is absorbed. And the indigo and violet, Vibgyor. So that means the darkness is in layers. So the first, immediately underwater, the darkness, because the sunlight is absorbed either by the clouds or by the reflection of the waves. Then if you go deep, if you go below 30 meters, become more dark. Because the red color is not seen. Then if you go below 50 meters, more dark. The orange color is not seen. Orange and both not seen. If you go below 100 meters, then red, orange, yellow, all three not seen. If you go below 200 meters, green is also not seen. And if you go more deep, nothing is seen, dark. That is called the dark portion of the sea. What the Quran is talking about, not the superficial. And Durga Rao says that in this, that the whole sea divided into two parts, superficial and the dark part. Till the time the light is absorbed, it's called a superficial portion of the sea. When complete light is absorbed, it becomes pitch dark. It is called as the deep part of the sea. And in between, there are internal waves. How many people here knew that there are waves even inside? We know about the external waves. How many people know there were internal waves? How many people? 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, so you have not heard my lecture before. So today science tells us there are internal waves. This internal waves, it divides the superficial portion of the sea or the ocean, which is warm and lit up, and the deep portion of the sea, which is dark and cold. So now if we again rehearse the verse of the Quran, Allah says the state of the unbeliever is like the depths of darkness, not superficial, deep part of the darkness. Waves topped with waves, internal waves topped with superficial waves, topped with dark clouds, layer over layer. If a man stretches out his hand, he cannot see For to whom Allah gives no light, light doesn't reach. So imagine Allah is talking about the state of the unbeliever's mind, a kafir's mind. And Prof. Durga Rao says, it's not possible that this could have been known 14 years back. He agrees this book has to be a divine revelation. In the field of biology, the Quran says in Surah Anbiya, chapter number 21, verse number 30, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ هَيْ أَفَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. We have created every living thing from water. Will you not then believe? Who would have believed in the deserts of Arabia 14 years ago that the Quran says everything is made from water? Who would have believed? Today, science tells us that all living creature is made up of cells. The basic component of cell is cytoplasm, which contains 80% water. All living creatures in the world, they are 50 to 90% water. And they survive on water. So Quran mentioned this 14 years ago, that we have made every living thing from water. Allah says in Surah Nur, chapter number 24, verse number 45, we have made every animal from water. Allah says in Surah Furqan, chapter 25, verse 54, we have made every human being from water. In the field of biology, previously we did not know that even the plants have got sexes, male and female. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Taha, chapter 20, verse 53, it is Allah who sends on water from the skies. And He brings forth various colors of plants. He sends on water from the sky, and with it He brings various diverse pairs of plants. So the Quran says, the word used is azwaj, that even the plants have got sexes, male and female. Allah says in Surah Ra'd, chapter number 13, verse number 3, that Allah has made the fruits in pairs, male and female. Allah says in Surah Dariyat, chapter 51, verse 49, Allah has made everything in pairs, not only animals, not only plants, not only human beings, even things like electricity. It has got male and female, proton and electron. Allah says in Surah Yasin, chapter 36, verse number 36, Allah has made everything in pairs, that which you know and that which you don't know. That means Allah is saying, not only has He made living creatures in pairs, He's made everything in pair. The things you know and things you don't know. In the field of zoology, the Quran says in Surah An'am, chapter 6, verse 38, that Allah has made every creature that walks on the earth, every animal that walks on the earth, and every bird that flies in the air to live in communities like the human being. And today science tells us that all the birds and animals, like the human being, they live in community. Quran says in Surah Nahl, chapter 16, verse 79, that do you see the birds held up in the sky? Who holds them up but with the power of Allah? These are signs for the believer. Allah repeats the message in Surah Mulk, chapter number 67, verse number 19, that don't you look at the birds in the midst of the sky. They unfold, they spread their wings and they fold their wings. Who holds them up but the power of Allah? The Arabic word used is amsak, holding up. And this holding is only done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Professor Hamburger, he writes in his book, Flight and Fragility, that how birds, they take flights for days and weeks and months together. And he gives the example of mutton bird, which flies for 15,000 kilometers and takes a journey of 6 months and returns back to the same spot in not more than 1 week delay. Imagine 6 months flight. How can a young bird who has no experience, are they programmed? So Professor Hamburger says, it cannot be possible until the genetic code is programmed. And who's the programmer? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can hold them up but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is mentioned in Surah Nahl, chapter number 16, verse number 60 and 69, Allah has taught the bees to build its cells in hills, trees, and human habitation, and to find the spacious path of thy Lord with great skill. What did Allah mean by saying to find the spacious path of thy Lord with great skill? Fawn Fresh got a Nobel Prize in 1973 to describe how the bees, they communicate with other bees the path of the new garden or the new flower they have found. So when they want to get nectar, they tell, one bee tells the other bee the exact location and the map of the new flower and the garden by a movement of the body known as bee dance. Allah said this 14 years ago. And the worker bee mentioned, previously thought it was a male bee. Therefore, Shakespeare and Henry V, when he writes that people talking, that the soldiers bee go and they report to the king, they are wrong. Today, science tells us that the worker bee, the female bee, they don't report to the king, they report to the queen. And the female gender use in Surah An-Nahl chapter 16, verse number 669, it is a female gender. It is Fasluki or Kuli. Imagine even the gender of the worker bee is mentioned in the Quran 14 years ago, which we did not know that time. Quran says in Surah An-Kabut chapter 29, verse 41, that all those who take for protectors, anyone besides Allah, they build for themselves houses like that of the spider. And verily, the house of the spider is fragile. So Quran says, if you worship anyone besides the true God Allah, you're making yourself like house of spider, which is fragile, flimsy. Besides that, today science tells us, it also talks about the flimsy relationship. Many a times, the female spider kills the male spider and is called as a black widow. Quran says in Surah An-Naml chapter 27, verse number 17 and 18, that when Solomon and his army and his host of jinns, men and birds, when they marched, when they approached a lowly valley of ants, one of the ants said, get ye into your habitation. One of the ants says to the other ants, O ye ants, get ye into the habitation, lest Solomon and his army unknowingly will trample you beneath the feet. People will think, what type of a fairy tale book is the Quran? Ants talking about themselves? Today science tells us, the animal or insect which has the closest resemblance to the human beings, it is the ant. The ant buries the dead the same way as the human beings do. They have a sophisticated method of labor where they have manager, they have supervisor, they have foreman, they have worker. They very often meet to chat. They have marketplaces where they exchange goods. You know how we are souk. They have marketplaces where they exchange goods. And if the grains they store, if it begins to bud, they cut the bud, they cut the roots, although they knew that budding will cause the rotting of the grain. And if the grain gets wet, they get it in the sunlight to dry, as though they knew that humidity will cause the rotting of the grain. You know, sometimes we see the ants taking grain in the sunlight. What they're doing? They're going out to dry so that there's no humidity. It prevents the rotting of the grain. In the field of medicine, Allah says in Surah An-Nahl chapter 16, verse 60 and 69, that from the belly of the bee, you get a drink of varying colors in which it is healing for mankind. Today, science tells us that in the honey, there are antiseptic properties. It's rich in fructose and vitamin K. No wonder the Russian soldiers in World War II, they used honey to cover up their wound. Which, because of it, its antiseptic properties, the scar, the healing was done with very little scar. And because of the density of honey, germs and bacteria and fungus did not grow in the wound. In the field of physiology, 600 years after the Quran was revealed, Ibn Nafis describes the blood circulation to humankind. And 1,000 years after the Quran was revealed, 400 years after Ibn Nafis, William Harvey makes it common to the world. So we read in our school book, William Harvey, we don't read about Ibn Nafis. Ibn Nafis was the first human being. The food we eat, I'll say in a nutshell, the time is running short. The food we eat goes into the stomach. From the stomach goes into the intestine. From the intestine, the food constituents via the bloodstream can go into the liver. It's a complex method. It can go into the mammary glands, which produces the Milk. So in a nutshell, it's talking about production of milk and the blood circulation. Quran says in Surah An-Nahl chapter 16 verse 66, that verily in the cattle is the lesson for you. We give you to drink for what is within the body, coming from a constituents of the excretion and the blood, the constituents of the intestine and blood. Milk, which is pure for you to drink. This blood circulation and the production of milk is given in a nutshell in the Quran. Allah repeats the message in Surah Mu'minun chapter 23 verse number 21, that in the cattle is the example, we give you to drink for what is within the body, milk which is pure for you, and of the meat you can eat. In the field of embryology, there were a group of Arabs who followed the verse of the Quran, which says in Surah An-Nahl chapter 16 verse 43 and Surah Anbiya chapter number 21 verse number 7, Fas'alu ahli zikri in kuntum la ta'lamun. If you don't know, ask the person who's knowledgeable. So they collected all the verses of the Quran and the Hadith which deals with embryology, and they presented to Prophet Keith Moore, who happened at that time. This was the late 1980s. Prophet Keith Moore was head of the Department of Anatomy in the University of Toronto. And at that time, he was one of the highest authority of embryology. And he was asked to comment on these verses. So he said, all the translation that I read, I have no problem in accepting it's in conformity with modern embryology, except for the first two verses revealed. That is Surah Iqra, Surah Alaq, chapter 96, verse number 1 and 2, which says, Iqra bismi rabbika allazi khalaq. Khalaqal insana min alaq. Read, recite, proclaim in the name of the Lord who created human beings from something which clings, a leech-like substance. He said, I don't know whether the embryo in the initial stages looks like a leech or not. So he went in his laboratory and under a very powerful microscope observed the early stage of embryology and compared it with a photograph of a leech and was astonished at the striking resemblance. The early stages of embryo looked like a leech. And when 80 questions were asked to him, he said, if you have asked me these questions 30 years ago, means in late 80s, 30 years before that, I would not be able to answer more than 50%, because embryology at that time was a new branch of medicine which had developed. Later on, in 1992, he writes the new information he gets from the Quran and the Hadith in his third edition of his book, The Developing Human Being, for which he gets an award for the best medical book written by any single author in that year. Quran says in Surah Hajj chapter 22 verse number 5 and Surah Mu'minun chapter number 23 verse number 14, that we have created the human being from a nutfa, a minute quantity of liquid, a trickle. And today science tells us that in one ejaculation there are tens of millions of sperms, and only one spermatozoa is sufficient to fertilize the ovum. Nutfa. And again, Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Mu'minun, chapter number 23, says that we have created the human being from sulala. Sulala means a quintessence, the best part of the whole. So one sperm, the one spermatozoa out of tens of millions, the Quran refers to as sulala, the best part of the whole. Quran also says in Surah Insan, chapter 76, verse number 2, we have created the human being from nutfatil amshaj, a mingled quantity of fluid, a minute quantity of mingled fluid. And we know that besides the male fluid, there's female fluid, there's spermatic fluid, which constitutes of the seminal vesicles, also the testicles, testicular fluid. So all this the Quran refers to as nutfatil amshaj, a minute quantity of mingled fluid. Today science tells us that the sex of the child is determined by the sperm, by the male. There are 23 pairs of chromosomes. If the 23rd pair is XX, it's a female. If it's XY, then it's a male. So if the male sperm, if the X takes part and the zygote is formed, it is a female. If the Y takes part, it becomes a male. So the male is responsible for the sex of the child. Allah says this in Surah Najm, chapter 53, verse number 45, 46, that we made you into male and female from a minute quantity which is ejaculated. So when the word is used, the word Arabic word is tumna, coming forth from a male, it means the male fluid gives rise to the male and female. Allah says in Surah Insan, chapter 75, verse number 37 to 39, we have created the human beings into male and female from a minute quantity of sperm. Nutfatim min maniyumna. The Quran says a minute quantity of sperm. So the sperm is responsible for the sex of the child, not the ova. This Quran mentioned 1400 years ago. Furthermore, the Quran says that do not the human beings know from where they have been created? They have created from a drop coming forth from the backbone and the ribs. Today, science tells us that the genital organs in the male, that the testicles, and in the female, the ovary, in the embryonic age, they are developed from the space where the kidney is present between the backbone and the 11th and 12th rib. And in the adult, in the embryonic age, they descend. The ovaries descend till the true pelvis. In the male, via the inguinal canal, the testicles descend to the scrotum. In the adult life, even after the descent, they get the nerve supply from the same space between the backbone and 11th and 12th rib. They get the blood supply from the same space. Even the lymphatic drainage goes back to the same space. Imagine, Quran speaks so much detail. The Quran says in Surah Zumar, chapter 39, verse number 6, that we have created the human beings in the womb of the mother in three veils of darkness. So Professor Keith Moore says, these three veils of darkness the Quran refers to is the anterior abdominal wall, the uterine wall, and the amniocorionic membrane. The Quran says in Surah Mu'minun, chapter number 23, verse number 11 to 14, we have created the human being from a minute quantity of liquid, nutfa. We made from a quintessence of clay, then from a minute quantity of liquid nutfa, then made the nutfa into a mudga, a chewed-like lump. Then made the chewed-like lump into izaman, bones. Then we clothed the bones with flesh. Glory be to Allah, who is the best to create. And today science tells us that initially there is a minute quantity of liquid, it becomes the chewed-like lump. So Prophet Keith Moore takes a plaster seal, makes it look like a leech, and bites it between his teeth, and the teeth marks, they resemble the somites. And then we made it into a bone, izaman, made the bones, clothed the bones with flesh, lahem. Glory be to Allah, who is the best to create. Till this time, the development, the embryonic development, whether it be in different animals, whether rabbit, whether fish, is the same as human being. After this stage, and Allah says, we have created, he's the best to create, a different creature. Then, the difference in the human figure comes out, the head, the arms, the legs. Further is mentioned in Surah Hajj, chapter 22, verse number 5, that we have created the human being from a nutfa, then made it into a mudga, partly formed and partly unformed. When Professor Marshall Johnson, head of the anatomy department in Thomas Jefferson University in Philadelphia, he was asked, what does it mean partly formed and partly unformed? He said that this stage, some of the organs in the embryo are completely formed, some are not completely formed. Some cells are differentiated, some are not differentiated. So if I say it's a complete creation, it is wrong. If I say incomplete, it is wrong. There is no better description than what the Quran gives in Surah Hajj, chapter 22, verse number 5, partly formed and partly unformed. Quran says in Surah Insan, chapter 76, verse number 2, that we have created the human beings and given them the faculty of hearing and sight and feeling. Today, science tells us, first comes the sense of hearing, then comes of sight, then comes feeling. We have come to know now. I would like to end my talk with giving two examples of the Quran. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Insan, Allah says in Surah Qiyamah, chapter number 75, verse number 3, that when the unbelievers say, how will Allah be able to reconstruct our bones on the day of judgment? After we have died, we have been buried, how can he reconstruct our bones? So Allah says, Allah can not only reconstruct the bones, He can even reconstruct in perfect order the very tips of the finger. What does Allah mean by saying He can reconstruct in perfect order the very tips of the finger? It was Sir Francis Gould in 1880 who discovered the fingerprinting method. And he said, no two fingerprints, even in a billion human beings, are identical. And today, this fingerprinting method is used by CIA, FBI, and the police to identify the criminal. I would like to end my speech by giving the example of Professor Thakrachan. Professor Thakrachan was, he's hailed from Thailand, and he's a very famous doctor. Previously, we medical doctors, we thought that the pain was only felt because of the brain. Now we have come to know that there are certain receptors in the skin which are also responsible for feeling of the pain. So if a patient of pain, if a patient of burn injury comes, the doctor takes a pin and pricks it in that area. If he feels pain, the doctor is happy. It's a superficial burn. If he does not feel pain, the doctor is sad. It's a deep burn. Quran says in Surah Nisa chapter 4 verse 56, as to those who reject our signs, we shall cast them into the hellfire. And as often as the skins are roasted, we shall give them fresh skin so that you shall feel the pain. If you catch Hitler today and give him punishment, 6 million Jews incinerated. You can take revenge only of one, or punishment of one. On the day of judgment, if Allah wants to incinerate, burn Hitler 6 million times or 12 million times, he can do it. As often as your skins are roasted, we shall give them fresh skin so that you shall feel the pain. Indicating there is something in the skin which are called as pain receptors. Prophet Thakrachan, when he read the translation of this verse, he was so impressed that in the 8th medical conference, Islamic medical conference in Riyadh, he said the Shahada, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, wa akhiru dawana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.